The Pentagon says it will consider upgrading discharges to Vietnam-era veterans who received other than dishonorable discharges and can show proof of post-traumatic stress disorder. Now, proving those cases could get tricky. PTSD wasn't an official medical diagnosis until the 1980s, and many records have been destroyed. But the Pentagon has promised liberal consideration. The guidance comes after a lawsuit earlier this year from a group of veterans who claim their applications for discharge upgrades were wrongfully denied. Tom Berger is the executive director of the Veterans Health Council at the Vietnam Veterans of America, and he joins me now. Tom, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
All right. So, first of all, how many Vietnam veterans are involved in this possible need for an upgrade of their discharges?
We have no idea of the exact number at the present time. Even DOD will have problems identifying. So it's going to be a real effort to reach out and find out how many actually have been affected. And we hope that both DOD and the VA will help us in that effort, particularly the VA in terms of its homeless program and possibly through the Vet Center program.
And just remind us how many Vietnam veterans are extant in all cases at this point?
At this point in time, there are roughly, I believe, about 3 million of us.
Okay, so that's a pretty large population. So we could be speaking in terms of tens of thousands of individuals then that would be applying for this this upgrade.
We could, because it not only covers our in-country vets, I mean those with boots on the ground in Southeast Asia at the time, but also, as you indicated at the intro of the program, era vets, so support troops. For example, a fella who was helping to load bombs on Guam or in the Philippines and witnessed some kind of traumatic event of, you know, a colleague getting sucked into the intake of a B-52 or, you know, an explosion that killed people or severely damaged people at a base.
All right, so lots of bad things could have happened. Now, for current people leaving the military that are discharged honorably with PTSD, how does that work now? Because there was, as we mentioned earlier, there was no diagnosis of that in earlier years. How does it work now?
Well, the board, of course, can consider at the present time medical conditions that may relate to a person's mental health status at the time of their separation from service. So they can apply to the board, the same board, you know, will be given consideration. Part of the problem lies with the fact that process that we're talking about before Secretary Hagel's announcement was very lengthy, it was cumbersome, and over 90% of the discharge requests were denied.
All right, so 40 years on now since the end of the war, and then some people served maybe 45, 46, 47 years ago. What types of evidence do you think could they produce that would convince a liberal-looking Pentagon that there was post-traumatic stress disorder, and can it still be the case now, all these many years later, for the same individuals?
Well, certainly. PTSD knows no time limits. Okay, it could be days, months, weeks, years where it shows up. So with that being the case, in consideration of what you said, the board is supposed to consider any VA determinations which document PTSD or PTSD-related conditions. That is to say, if someone went to the VA in the early 80s, after PTSD had been added to the DSM-3 at the time, those documents would be considered. Supposedly, according to the medical guidance part of the announcement, it'll also be given in cases where civilian providers confer a diagnosis of PTSD or PTSD-related conditions. And then there may be other factors or conditions documented in one's record that can be determined to have existed at the time of discharge. So, you know, the corrections boards are going to have to take a look at all the information that a claimant submits and apply that term liberal in terms of their consideration.
Now, also about 40 years ago, there was a major fire at an Army records center, I think in St. Louis. And do you know whether Vietnam records were part of that? Do we know?
Only a few were burned up in that fire. There's a myth out there that lots of Vietnam veteran service records were destroyed, but that's not true.
So that was mostly, I think, World War II era that was lost in that fire.
Right.
All right, so given what we know about PTSD and the fact that it was thought it was, I guess, legally ruled into existence in the 1980s, has the understanding of what constitutes PTSD evolved since it was originally established as a cause for honorable discharge?
Sure. In fact, the recently enacted DSM-5 actually, while it didn't change the diagnosis for PTSD, it did move PTSD from the anxiety category into its own category. So there's been a lot of, you know, research done on looking at PTSD, particularly over the last 12 to 15 years, because we've been at war for 13 years.
Would you also say, too, that discharge authorities and maybe general officer, you know, the general thinking in the Pentagon at the officer level and the people that make these decisions, their attitude toward PTSD and the reality of it have also evolved?
Well, we hope it has. On the other hand, we also know that in some localities around the country, the application of what we're calling personality disorder discharges or adjustment disorders have been applied to individuals you know, with some bad conduct in their past service record, because it's easier to do that, to get rid of a service member that way, than to put them through treatment and all that sort of thing. We suspect that it, in some localities it's being used as part of the downsizing of our military armed forces.
All right. We're speaking with Tom Berger. He's executive director of the Veterans Health Council at the Vietnam Veterans of America. And for getting an other than honorable discharge, that's not necessarily dishonorable. But what does having an other than honorable do to someone over the course of their career or their life?
Well, it depends on one of the other categories. It could mean, in the worst possible scenario, that persons are denied VA health care and or their benefits, disability benefits, or and or pensions. So it could have a, you know, a significant impact on those kinds of, on those individuals with those kinds of discharges. But again, it's somewhat dependent on the type of other than honorable discharge.
There's a whole range of them, in other words.
Yes.
All right, and so there must be then a significant number of Vietnam veterans who have tried to get this, even though you said earlier you don't know the total number, but it sounds like this is a regular occurrence, the application and denial of the application to get that other than honorable upgraded to honorable.
Absolutely. I myself, over the last year or so, for example, I've had dozens of requests from individuals as to what is the process by which I can get my discharge upgraded.
Now, it looks like you're going to get a little boost from a public messaging campaign that the Pentagon says it's going to do. Tell us about that.
Well, we hope. We don't have the details on how they're going to do it, neither from the VA, but we're hoping to hear on that soon. In fact, as part of our thank you to Secretary Hagel, we're asking how we can work better with DOD in terms of getting the word out. I mean, that's going to be the tough part. We know, for example, that within the homeless veteran community, the majority of homeless veterans are Vietnam veterans, Vietnam-era veterans, certainly. These guys are going to be tough to reach. They've been on the streets for a very long time.
All right. So what other sources of information do they tend to go to? I mean, what do – I guess maybe it doesn't make sense to ask, but do Vietnam veterans have any particular publications or news outlets or sources that they have generally in common?
Well, certainly VVA, Vietnam Veterans of America, has a variety of sources that we can utilize to reach out. It includes our printed publications, our electronic newsletters. There's also, we're going to appeal to our brothers and sisters in other veteran service organizations and military service organizations to put the word out in their publications and their communication strategies that they use. And I'm sure that we'll probably come up with a couple of other ways to reach out. But again, it's going to be tough because, as I said earlier, some of these guys have been on the streets for a long time. And, it's going to be tough to reach them.
And a final question. I remember when the Vietnam veterans started coming home in large numbers, and then we see how veterans returning today, and a lot of attitudes societally maybe, and even as we mentioned earlier in the Pentagon, have changed. Has the halo effect of how Afghanistan veterans are perceived, has that kind of helped how Vietnam veterans are perceived, in your opinion?
Well, there's still a lot of bitterness out there, even though now we're getting some recognition for our service. I think the country as a whole has somewhat matured regarding the veterans since Vietnam, because in this particular case over the last 13 years, people have been able to separate the war from the warriors. And regardless of whether you agree or disagree that we should be over there in the first place, the fact of the matter is that our veterans are being honored when they return now.
So at this point now, the new policy of liberality toward those applications to upgrade the discharges is in place, and you're just waiting to see how the reach out will happen.
Yes, and that's going to be the main thrust of our efforts is to get the word out there, and then in a way that people can follow up and actually have things happen.
All right, Tom Berger is Executive Director of the Veterans Health Council at the Vietnam Veterans of America. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, sir.